Trigger warning. The following episode contains references to human suffering, death, factual inaccuracies, several entitled people making light of all these things. If any of the aforementioned topics cause you discomfort, you may want to listen to a different episode.
The Grinch came down to Whoville. He took the Gone Goozlers and he took the Roast Beast. I'm Adam.
And so, we sent our first ships and that failed. We sent our second ships, that failed and burned to the ground. We sent our third ships and that was attacked by the Spanish Armada. I'm Andy.
Word of advice? If Teddy Roosevelt is smiling, it's probably not a good sign. I'm Kelly.
Why won't you let me in the canal? What's taking so long? What do you mean there's a man swimming through it? I'm Sean and this is Acid Pop. Hello, everyone, and welcome back. Today, we will be doing the first of what I hope to be a series of evil structures. And we're going to be talking today about the Panama Canal.
Have you ever navigated on the Panama Canal?
Thought we were going to be talking about the building in Ghostbusters.
Maybe we'll get to that. Lots of possibilities for the future.
No studying.
So there are two theories about the word origin of Panama. Either way, it is a Native American or I don't know what you'd call the native people of Central Mexico. But
Central Mexican.
Yeah.
Mesoamerican.
Yeah, Mesoamerican or Aztec or Mayan or somewhere in those neighborhoods. But either way, it is either a word for a type of tree or a word meaning many butterflies. Because I guess every August there's a big butterfly migration.
You sure butterflies and not mosquitoes?
Well, you can have both.
Butterflies don't sound like a very evil, evil structure name.
That's how they get you, Kelly.
The mighty monarch.
And canal comes from the Latin canalis, which means pipe, groove, or channel. So that makes sense.
Sure. So a channel through butterflies.
As a result, canal is also the root of the word channel, which is pretty much the same thing. So thought that was interesting. So the butterfly groove, that's what we're talking about today.
Oh, I got that butterfly groove.
Strangely enough, there is an appropriate phobia here. It is potomophobia, which is the fear of running water.
Yeah, I guess that applies.
Yep. And there are people that suffer from potomophobia who legitimately are afraid of canals and just canals.
Huh.
This is mostly associated with a tragic event that happened in a canal. So they just... somebody died while they were at a canal and they just can't go back to it or something like that.
Where are we? Erie.
That's so weird. Like, is yeah. It's not just it, like a river wouldn't set it off, but like the fact that it's like man-made.
Well, it depends on the person because this is just the fear of running water. So this would apply to someone who is afraid of a river, okay. But it can be as specialized as to a canal.
Common fear among both vampires and fairies.
Is that true? Mm-hmm. Mm. And potamo is a Greek word meaning river.
Or big giant animal that will eat you.
So we're on to our acid pop quiz. True or false? The Panama Canal was proposed in 1880.
I'm going true.
We got 50-50 here, Andy.
I'm going true just because it seems like something that was proposed but not figured out till later.
I'm going to say false. I think it was proposed earlier than that.
I'm going to say false too.
It is in fact false. The... first attempt to create the canal was in 1534.
Is well, a bit then. Earlier than I was thinking.
Yeah. So that's, I mean, as we learned in our Christopher Columbus episode, he sailed the ocean blue in 1492.
1942.
Did you say 1940?
Right. We discovered America when Hitler was attacking.
That's when we really discovered our true selves.
But yeah, so this is less than 40 years after that was the first crack at trying to get across the Panama Canal. So this was ordered by the Holy Roman Emperor, Charles V, and he ordered a survey of the area, but at the time, the task was deemed impossible.
Well, sure, they had, like, shovels.
Yeah. Can't do this with shovels, are you crazy?
I do love that the Emperor was like, make a canal.
But sir.
Don't know.
So true or false, the area now called the Panama Canal was used to cross between the oceans before the canal was built.
I'm going to say true.
I'm going to say true, like they dismantled the boats and then like, well, not dismantle them in whole, but like take off the
part of the reason they used that spot was because all the lakes, I think.
Like they carry them.
That sounds true-ish.
Yep, it is in fact true. Before there was a canal there, people did a brisk business in setting up basically wagons that would ferry people back and forth because...
Boat wagons.
Yeah. Well, no boats. So you just like you'd pull up on a boat, get off the boat, get on a wagon, take the wagon to the other coast, and then get back on a boat and sail away. So this was a very popular route in the mid-1800s where 49ers trying to get to California from Europe would go down to Panama, take the land bridge either by foot or by coach, and then sail the rest of the way up to California.
And then lose their money and their life in pursuit of riches.
Yep.
Yeah. Do not leave your boat with an unlicensed carriager because they will strip that thing. And by the time you come back, it's nothing but planks.
It's like, look, now I've got two carriages.
Out of my own boat?
So true or false, ship captains need a special license to traverse the Panama Canal.
I'm going to go true. True. You need licenses for everything.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why you'd bring it up otherwise, but...
I'm going to say false, but there should be a license.
I'm also going to say false.
Whoa, saw through my ruse. It is false. In fact, captains cannot pilot their ships through the canal.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say pilots can't get their ships through the canal if they have the license.
The canal isn't real.
Sorry, you're too experienced for this trip.
So instead, the Panama Canal employs special pilots that take control of ships to get them through the canal.
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah. Thought that was interesting, though. I didn't know that you would just, like, hand over control of your boat to some other guy for a while.
Captain?
It's like the start of a heist.
Yeah.
Where are they going to heist you to? In the canal?
The next
lock. They have to get you through the canal, and then they just keep taking the boat.
They rob you while you're going through the canal.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you know how much crap goes through there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You get all kinds of stuff in there. So time for our fill-in-the-blank section. The toll to use the canal is based on cargo capacity and weight. So what were the smallest and largest tolls ever paid?
Ever in, like, time?
Yeah.
15 cents and $1 billion.
$500 million.
For the low.
For the low. And $3.
For that.
I'm going to go a bit higher. I'm going to say, you know... If you're moving cargo and stuff, even in ye olden times, you're going to be spending a bit of money. So I'm going to say 100 for the low and 5 million for the high.
Wow, man, you guys are really high up on the high. The actual answer is $375,000.
Really?
Which,
that's,
I mean,
a steal.
Are you kidding? That's a toll. It's to use a little channel of concrete for an hour.
You are, however, cutting through an entire country.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're avoiding all of South America.
Well, the largest toll was paid by the Norwegian Pearl, which is a cruise ship capable of holding 2,400 passengers in 2010.
Those are the most valuable cargo.
Yeah. And the lowest toll ever paid was 36 cents.
Wow.
I was close.
Yep, Andy got the lowest. This was paid by Richard Halliburton in 1928, who became the first person to swim the canal.
Oh, well.
See, I formulated a whole story of the guy that, like, took his donkey to see the other ocean, but, like... Just a guy swimming across, I guess, would be the lowest amount of cargo you could bring.
I want to decide. I want to know how they decided his carrying capacity.
Yeah. Get on the scale. Get off the scale.
Just like him standing there and them handing him boxes.
Now, I figured he was treading water and they just kept handing him bricks until he sunk.
I'm just imagining these drunk-ass cruise passengers shooting champagne corks at the people manning the canal like, we're going through your canal.
So we'll get into more specifics of this later, but how many people died building the canal?
A bunch. Does that count?
Yeah. One metric bunch.
100,000.
I was going to go lower. 50,000.
I'm going to go lower still. I'm going to say 10,000.
Well, Kelly's the closest without going over. It was 25,000.
Oof.
Which is still a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were less people back then.
Safety standards.
Each person was more valuable.
So here's an interesting fact, if you guys can get it. How long is the canal and how far is it around South America?
Oh, I think it... Okay, I'm going to say... You said it was a mile long.
I said it was an hour, but that was hyperbole.
I'm going to say 15 miles.
We're going 1 mile an hour. It is 5 miles long, and it's 250 miles around.
250?
If you go around the long way.
That seems awfully low.
I was going to say, that's about the distance from Seattle to Portland. But sure.
Oh, no way, we're going around all of South America,
aren't
we?
The entire perimeter of South America.
Sorry. 250,000 miles.
Found those zeros you dropped.
I said 15 miles across, and I'll say 3,000 around.
I'm going to say it's a little longer than that. I think it's like...
You're probably
right.
We're
going to go with 50. 50 miles across. And then... I have no idea how big South America is. I don't know how big the U.S. is. So. Yeah.
Bigger than 250 miles.
I feel pretty confident in that.
Somewhere over that.
At least 300.
And Andy's just eliminated 249 numbers for you.
Somehow I had placed it at the end of South America. Like you just cut off the tip. Like snip.
10,000 worked for me earlier.
All right.
I'll go with that.
Okay, well, Kelly gets the high and Adam gets the low.
Yeah.
The canal is 48 miles across, which is 77 kilometers, and it takes usually about 8 hours to get through there, which is 0.92 nano days.
What if you're swimming?
To go around, you're looking at...
Don't avoid the question, Sean. She asked about swimming.
Well, I don't know. I that was in the story, but I don't remember. To go around, you're looking at 12,500 miles or 20,000 kilometers. So pretty significant savings in time, if not in money.
Nah, it's just a drive to Portland.
But with traffic and everything, it's just easier to take the canal.
It's about the same with traffic.
Cut straight through on the boat. Seattle to Portland, make yourself a canal.
So we're on to our terms. What is Panamax?
It's a lot of butterflies.
The maximum amount of butterflies that can fit in Panama.
Panamax is the film company that you have to rent out stock footage of the Panama Canal from.
And don't forget about Skinna Panamax.
Oh yeah, where you get to see nude ladies on the boats going across the Panama Canal.
I'm gonna say that's a shuttle service.
It's a good guess. No, Panamax is actually the largest size a ship can be and still make it through the canal.
God damn
it,
Panama.
Is there a Panamin?
No, that's the swimmer.
I guess it's Richard Halliburton is the Panamin.
No, he's the Panaman.
No, but ships today are still built according to the Panamax. So they will restrict the size of the boat you're building if you can't get it through the Panama Canal.
What if you promise you don't want to go there?
Yeah, and they are actually... I had trouble finding this. They either just finished or are currently widening the Panama Canal. So
they were currently widening it when I was there. I don't know if they're finished yet.
It was a big project. But yeah, so the Panamax is about to go up. So what is a gongoozler?
A gongoozler?
I believe that's what was hunting the Oompa Loompas when Willy Wonka saved them.
I was going to say, I think that's one of the instruments the Grinch hated. Tooting their gongoozlers.
Damn Panamanians.
Down in Panama.
His heart grew 3 Panamax that day.
Who knew that Dr. Seuss was so good at political allegory?
Okay, I think that's the people who are allowed to pilot the ships down the Panama Canal. There.
No fair. Yours is a serious answer.
And if that's the answer, I will apply today.
Andy, professional gongoozler.
Hi, I'm a gongoozler.
So this is a strange term for people who like to stand and admire passing ships, especially as they go through canals.
Weird.
Yep. So there's people that live by canals, and they go out just to watch the boats go by, and they are called gongoozlers.
The gongoozler life didn't choose me. I chose it.
It just gives me that sexual thrill.
Poor ships are like, oh, God, that dude's gongoozling me again.
I got to go take a
just
shower.
Just lousy with gongoozlers.
So what is a keb?
Is that a keb or a keb?
It's K-E-B.
Okay. Keb. The A's not part K-E-B. Of it.
Nope. A singular keb.
What would be the plural of keb?
Keboodle.
Kebbages.
I like caboodle.
A keb is half of a Keebler elf.
I'm going to say that's like the little tugboats that get you into the locks.
Okay.
I'm going to say, I mean, a gongoozler is someone who watches boats. I'm going to say it's a fish that's only found in the Panama Canal.
Mm. No, a keb is a long rake that they use to dredge up crap from the bottom of the canal that falls off boats.
I found three more Porsches.
Wouldn't be surprised.
And two cruise ship peoples.
And a dozen gongoozlers.
Well, these gongoozlers are just in my canal. What should I doozler, he said.
I don't know if I'm ever going to get tired of this word.
So that concludes our acid pop quiz. So now we're going to talk about the construction or attempts at construction of the Panama Canal. So as I mentioned, this all started in 1534 when some Spanish explorers found this tiny little land bridge between the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans. As we learned in our inaugural episode, people were desperately trying to find a path to China that didn't take them across half a dozen countries where they needed to pay all of their tariffs. So Charles V ordered a group of surveyors down there to see what could be done to cut a path through. After a few weeks, they basically said, fuck that, and they sailed home.
All these natives here, what should we do about them?
Sneeze, then leave.
Let time do the rest.
So over the next few hundred years, people were constantly tantalized by this little strip of land, but no one could get near the damn thing without a pissed off load of other countries and dying of horrible diseases. So,
not to mention the butterflies.
So many butterflies.
The butterflies ate our captain.
Just flew away with them.
I was just gongoozling and turned around and he was gone.
I was just giving the butterfly kisses.
So the first major attempt to tame the Panamanian beast happened in 1690. Of all places, Scotland decided that they needed to get into the colonizing spirit. They wanted to become a world power, so step one, sail down to Panama and set up a new colony called Caledonia and create an overland transit system. Step two, get riches and bitches.
That's a shame. I really would have liked to seen them succeed with this.
Yeah. Why Caledonia?
I don't know. This likes anyway.
Ah, welcome to Caledonia.
So Scotland tried to get some backing from England and its colonies, but England was in the midst of a war with France at the time, and they were having their strings pulled pretty hard by the East India Company. So needless to say, the East India Company wasn't too keen on having any competition, so Scotland was getting no help. So they decided to appeal to the citizens. And in a show of tremendous public spirit, they managed to raise the equivalent of 48 million pounds in a few weeks.
Woo!
So this represented roughly 20% of the entire wealth of the nation.
Scots love canals.
So they set about hiring people to go settle the new land, but they basically got a bunch of deserters and fugitives from the war that was going on.
It worked for Australia.
Suckers! Yeah. They flipped you off, ran into the forest.
So still, they managed to scrape together about 1,200 people, and they set off, basically skulking around the ocean and hoping that no one noticed, especially Spain, who had a lot of colonies down in the area at the time. So they arrived in November and started setting up shop. However, they couldn't get stuff to grow. Any of the boats passing by pretended basically not to see them, and everybody was getting malaria. And the natives thought that they were all a bunch of idiots.
Well,
it's amazing to me that they even got a foothold there.
Yeah, well, or did they?
As briefly as it might have been.
Not much of a foothold.
Yeah. So after a while, the natives felt bad and started offering the settlers food. But as summer came on, nothing could stay fresh in the ridiculous humid heat. And the combination of malnutrition, disease, and heat stroke brought the mortality rate to roughly 10 people a day.
Oh, fun.
It is a bit above average.
Welcome to Caledonia. Please stay alive.
So after about 8 months, the last 250 survivors or so left to sail to New York to try and get some help. While they were out, the second wave of the Scottish ships set sail for Caledonia. Oh, no. When they got there, though, they found some ruined huts and about 400 graves.
Oh, no.
And some natives saying, oh, God, not again.
A little ominous.
So while they stood there in bewilderment, one of the two ships somehow managed to catch on fire.
Just from the summer heat alone.
There's no record of how it caught on fire, but it just seemed like the appropriate moment. Like somebody just looked at, turned to their friend and said, how could things possibly get worse?
I'm sure that happened.
Papa, I found my magnifying glass.
So everybody that remained got back on the ship and they left to try and find enough supplies to get back to Scotland. Meanwhile, the third set of ships left Scotland.
Scotland, stop.
Well, they didn't know. Like, no one sent word back. So when they arrived, they found some ruined huts, 400 graves, and the burnt out remains of the last ship to arrive.
Somebody needs to leave a goddamn note.
Abandon all hope, you enter here.
So needless to say, morale was pretty low at this point. So while this third wave did the best that they could, the Spanish finally caught wind of what Scotland was up to, and they went down there to try and teach him a lesson.
It's hard to start a colony on the down low.
Yeah.
It's also hard to teach somebody a lesson when they've been taught so many lessons. We were leaving. Stop.
So the Spanish didn't fare much better in the heat or disease, but they did have more troops. So Scotland and Spain basically entered a contest to see who could die the slowest.
That's what I do when I play Risk.
So after a few months, Scotland threw in the towel and abandoned Caledonia. Scotland was left bankrupt by the attempt and in 1907 agreed to join England in a desperate attempt to stabilize their crumbling economy.
Oh, and prima nocta.
And that was attempt one.
Not a great attempt, guys.
Nope. You guys did good in Panama.
Fast forward to 1881. The French reached an agreement with Colombia, who at the time ruled Panama as a sort of colony, and they agreed to let them construct a canal through Panama. The French called in Ferdinand de Lesseps, who was something of an all-star, having just completed the Suez Canal a few years before.
Ferdinand of the Septs?
Yep. De Lesseps' plan was to build the Panama Canal in the same way, basically just cut a sea-level trench that went through the whole thing. Since it was less than half the distance, he figured he had it easy.
Well, yeah.
He visited the site a couple times, but unfortunately for him, always in the dry season. Now, the Suez Canal was in the desert, so basically had nothing but a dry season. Panama, however, has a dry season just 4 months out of the year. The rest of the time, it's monsoon storms and tropical snakes.
Tropical snakes.
Yep. So De Lesseps tried to start at the coast and follow the river inland, but the water level could rise in the river up to 35 feet or 10 meters in the almost perpetual wet season, which made it almost impossible to deal with. Then there's the ever-present snakes, spiders, and mosquitoes carrying yellow fever and malaria. So the French knew about yellow fever, but this was still when the miasma theory was popular. Do you guys know about this?
Gotta get them humors in balance.
Bad air.
Yeah, it's basically you get sick by stinky air. So
yeah, malaria.
Yeah. The French expended thousands of dollars to improve the air quality, all the while dying of malaria and yellow fever.
Why isn't this working?
We have all our potpourri. Air fresheners. Should we bring these citronella candles? No, those are terrible. They smell bad.
So in its worst state, the death rate was over 200 workers a month, which, needless to say, made recruiting new employees pretty difficult. Not to mention the fact that there was almost no one left to train new employees that were coerced into coming to work.
Offer a grand bounty.
Plenty of room for advancement because all the managers have died.
Every day you survive, your wages go up 50 cents.
So over the 8 years of this project, 20,000 workers died, and the equivalent of $287 million were spent on the project.
Woo!
It was abandoned, and the French pursued legal action against those it felt responsible for the catastrophe.
The mosquitoes. Yeah.
So this included De Lesseps, but another person that caught some flack in the aftermath was a bright and shiny engineer named Gustave Eiffel, who was riding high on his success from just finishing the Eiffel Tower.
I mean, you make one tower, they want you to build everything else.
You make a tower, they want you to make a tower, but sideways in the water.
So he got tangled up in the lawsuits, even though he was just a consultant on the project.
How close did they get before they abandoned it?
Just a couple of miles, I think.
Why not push through to the end, guys?
Well, because it's 47 miles.
Oh, they only made it a couple miles.
Oh, right. Only made it a couple miles. Sorry.
Yeah.
What's 20,000 people? Throw 40,000 more at it.
So Eiffel was found guilty, though he was later acquitted, but this severely tarnished his career. And De Lesseps was pretty much the same. He was also found guilty, though he was also acquitted. Mostly it seemed like France just wanted someone to point the finger at for this whole disaster.
You did this.
That's why we never saw the sequel to the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. Also, I think a lot of the French hated the Eiffel Tower at first, so maybe they were just pissed at him for that, too. It was considered a huge eyesore.
I didn't know that.
This Eiffel Tower is ruining France.
And that was attempt number two. So in the late 1800s, America was also looking to build a canal, though they were looking elsewhere since France was trying to do it in Panama. When they heard France had abandoned the project, they thought they could swoop in and buy their way into a deal with Colombia and start the project with a good amount of work already done.
You know, all these other countries delude themselves into thinking they can make the right canal down here, but I think it could work for us. Yeah.
I also thought Sean was going to say, because we were so contrarian, we're going to canal our way through Canada.
They got into talks with Colombia, and Colombia was looking for $40 million for this deal, but they kept dropping the price for some reason. And in 1903, the U.S. signed their half of a deal that would give Colombia $10 million and would give the U.S. a lease on the canal for the next 100 years.
Nice.
When the treaty went to Colombia, the Colombian Senate sat down with Teddy Roosevelt and they were like, listen, we'd love to sign this treaty, but Panama has gotten a little uppity recently, and we think that they're going to make a play for independence. Now, we would hate to sign this deal and then lose control of Panama, so that would leave you high and dry. So we were hoping that you could, you know, help out a bit with this delicate
Meanwhile,
situation.
Meanwhile, Teddy's eyebrows are just going up and his mustache is upturning into a smile.
So Teddy said, well, that sounds very interesting, and then quickly excused himself with a wink and a nod.
I have to go save some endangered species.
Then, on November 2nd, a blockade of U.S. warships pulled up in front of Panama with Viva Panama t-shirts on.
Wait, the ships had t-shirts on?
Yeah. Yep. Big ones. So, that was on November 2nd. On November 3rd, Panama declared its independence safely from behind the blockade of American ships.
Oh, Teddy.
I do love you, Teddy.
So the first thing that they did was enter into a deal with the U.S. for a much more favorable deal about the Panama Canal. That was signed in 1903, and in 1904, the U.S. picked up where the French left off, even though the U.S. decided to use locks instead of trying to cut a trench all the way through.
Well, my understanding was the locks were necessary because the oceans weren't the same height.
I don't know that that is true. But I can't say for a fact.
I never really checked up on it.
Are you questioning Teddy Roosevelt?
Well, it has to do with tides and stuff.
I'd say the physics of that seem impossible, but
I have also heard that and also do not know whether it's true or not.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that because a lot of people seem to be under the impression that the reason the Panama Canal has locks is because one side is higher than the other side. So the boat has to be raised or lowered to the appropriate height on the opposite coast. That's not the case. You pull in one side, you get raised up to the level of the land, and then you go across a canal on land. Then when you get to the other side, they lower you back down to the level of the ocean.
Okay, that makes sense.
But I can't say for 100% certainty that the oceans are at the same height, though physics would suggest
I'm willing to accept this new fact and not check up on it.
That's the way Teddy wanted it. Are you questioning him?
So the U.S. got started, and for the first 2 years, the chief engineer of the project, John Frank Stevens, worked like mad to build or rebuild housing, stores, and warehouses for the thousands of workers that were pouring in. Between the start of the French and American constructions, yellow fever and malaria had been linked to mosquitoes, and armed with that knowledge, sanitation officer William Gorgas created sewer systems, decreased standing water, fumigated mosquito breeding grounds, and installed bug nets on everything he could.
And he got one of those zappy blue lights.
Yeah. It's worth mentioning at this point that the miasma theory was not going down quietly, so a lot of people were giving him crap for wasting all this money and time trying to fight mosquitoes instead of clean the stinky air.
All these stupid sewers and stuff.
I'm just trying to imagine one of those zappy blue lights in a place where malaria is prominent, where it's just constantly going.
Yeah, right?
It would just light up the town for 10 miles in every direction.
Powered by mosquitoes.
There's a pile of ash below our blue light.
So these two men's had improved working conditions beyond measure, but even with that, 5,500 more U.S. workers died to finish the construction in the next 10 years. They had a much better casualty rate than the French, but even so, that was just a really terrible place to work.
Better than the Scots.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you're going to build a canal, you're going to break a few eggs and kill a few thousand workers.
I suppose we were three-fourths better than the French?
Well, so...
How does math work?
Well, it's sort of by percentages. So the U.S. is estimated to have employed 55,000 workers. So even though they did the best they could, the U.S. still had a casualty rate of 10%. I think the French was closer to 30%.
I got to say, if that was the rate at my job, I wouldn't work there.
Yeah.
I can't imagine any of my jobs having that death rate.
Not making minimum wage.
So, the canal opened for business in 1914, and this shortened the trip between oceans from several weeks to just a few hours.
Now, wasn't this pretty controversial in the U.S.? Like, Teddy forced it through. There's, like, that famous quote from the time, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, he was working behind a lot of people's backs to get this thing done.
Like, Congress.
Yeah. As is Teddy Roosevelt's wont, he didn't feel like he needed anyone's permission to do whatever he felt like doing, so he just basically went and did it.
It's a lot less charming in today's political environment.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's one of our more interesting presidents in that he loved two things, to kill and to make national parks.
Yeah, he liked nature.
I just love Teddy Roosevelt's plan for employing people. He's like, we've got a job deficit. You paint that wall blue. And then as soon as they were done, it was like, I hate this blue wall. You paint that wall white. And then just like,
no, that's Franklin.
It works, I guess.
Yeah.
Keeps the paint makers employed too. Yeah.
Teddy just put them all on horses and said, go kill some Indians.
Well, yeah. And Teddy Roosevelt said, hey, I love to kill bears. And he went and killed a bunch of bears. And he was like, wait, there are not so many bears. Conservation. Conservation is key. This area right here for bears.
So yes, the canal opened in 1914, and as a coda, in early 1915, two simultaneous landslides collided on the canal, closing it for the better part of a year. So since the canal has opened, it has closed on two other occasions due to landslides.
Well, only two other occasions, though. It's been open for what
now? It's a pretty good track record.
Yeah, it's over 100 years. But still... yeah, Panama is not a very good place to work if you're trying to dig a hole.
Hear that, Shia LaBeouf? No holes. Mm-hmm.
So does anybody have any personal stories about, well, probably not about the Panama Canal, except maybe Adam other canals in general? Well,
finally, Adam holds all the cards.
Adam's time to shine.
I've been through the Panama Canal twice.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, one going one way and the other going the other way.
That's how most people do it.
Sure. Well, no, some people could go one-way trip, I guess. I don't know.
You could just go around,
fit around, yeah. And then in.
But it was my last deployment. We went, I was stationed in Florida, and we were deployed to the Pacific side around Colombia. And so we had to go through the Panama Canal to get to there.
How was it?
Boring.
You were up on deck, right? Do you remember somebody coming in to pilot the ship?
Yeah, well, that's not uncommon. Even when we go in and out of home port, they bring a pilot on board, even if they don't necessarily, like, actually pilot the ship. Like, they're on board, like, telling us what to do.
Did you see any gungoozlers?
I don't think we saw any gungoozlers. but the thing is, with the military ships, it seems like they send us always through at night. Like, all the cruise ships want to go through during the daytime. That's where the money is.
Oh, yeah.
But at night, there's nothing to see, so nobody wants to go through at night.
Stealth mission.
So both times I went through the Panama Canal, I think it was like 2 in the morning.
So there could have been gungoozlers that were just very, very dedicated.
Yeah. And what was it? You said it was like 8 hours?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was like middle of the night, dark the whole time, didn't see anything.
Yeah.
But it was pretty interesting seeing the locks go up and down. And when we were on the Panama side of things, we would port in Panama pretty often. And it was right at the mouth of the canal there. So we got to see all the traffic going through.
So you were a gungoozler.
I was a gungoozler. Oh, my God.
So how long did it take to be in the locks and be raised up?
It's been a while now. It wasn't too long.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say more than like 15 minutes to half an hour, but that could be. I mean, that could be wrong because it's been a while.
It's been a while. Also, well, he was very bored at the time.
Yeah, it was also very boring.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that it's short. I mean, it just seems to me like that would be a colossal amount of water to move. I mean, I guess you just have to get it up and then just let it go.
Yeah, they've got a lot of equipment moving that water.
Yeah.
But I did get to see them working on the expansion when I was there.
Yeah.
And as long as we're talking about canals, I did go through the other big canal, too.
Which one's that?
The Erie Canal?
The Erie Canal, yes. We put warships in the Great Lakes.
Yay!
Hey, watch yourselves,
up,
Canada.
Up the Niagara Falls.
Protect us from Canada, you Navy men.
Hey, I don't know if you know people from, like, Michigan or Illinois. They get very possessive of the Great Lakes. It's a little scary.
Well, they are pretty great. But I was a Master Helmsman when we went through the Suez Canal, so I was actually one of two qualified Master Helmsmen at the time. So we were on 6-hour shifts of steering the ship through that canal.
Oh yeah, so you got to drive in that one?
Super stressful.
I'll bet.
Kind of jealous of Adam's title of Master.
But yeah, like all the Master Helmsman stuff is super stressful anyways, but yeah. Like when it feels like you have land like 2 inches on either side of you.
No, just bump it. You're a warship. The land will dent.
And it's also weird, like, on the Suez Canal, like, on one side, there's, like, armed guards all the way.
Oh, weird.
Did you wave?
No, I was driving.
Both hands on the wheel, 10 and 2.
It was white-knuckling for 6 hours.
Oh, God. Oh, God. Don't be a wave.
Well, and meanwhile, there's an aircraft carrier in front of us. I don't know how the hell they did it.
Did you bump them? Just a little love tap.
A little love tap, yeah.
Did you honk your boat horn?
You just throw out a line and hook up, and then you just follow them being tugged along. All right. Well, if no one has any other personal stories, then we'll move on to what are your morals worth? In the American portion of the Panama Canal adventure, William Gorgas had teams of mosquito hunter killers.
I want that title.
Well, how much would I have to pay you to do that job for a month in Panama?
Can I get proper, like, protective gear?
You can get anything except a vaccine.
But I already have the vaccine.
It seems like I'm getting malaria.
I've actually been vaccinated for malaria.
Yeah, it'll wear off someday, so we'll wait.
Do we have access to modern medicine if we do fall ill?
Yeah, but I mean, to my knowledge, there isn't something that they can give you that'll just like make it go away. You've just sort of got to ride it out, but yeah.
Can I get quinine?
Sure.
Okay. Do I have a flamethrower?
You can use, I don't think you'd have a flamethrower. You just have...
Fly swatter.
It's making the title seem lesser.
Well, you have like insecticide.
Andy, mosquito hunter killer, and he's just going through the jungle with a fly swatter.
Yeah, take that.
Boss, I got another 3.
Good job.
I mean, as dangerous as this sounds, I'm kind of on board with it.
Oh, yeah?
I do want to visit Panama.
For the title, like, it's sort of in keeping to my degree.
So then you would be Master Helmsman, Mosquito Hunter Killer, Biologist Adam.
So cool.
Gentleman
Adventurer. I just want a good salary out of it.
I mean, I guess I take the salary of the time, which is probably way higher than it than working in whatever else other factories you would work at the time.
Yeah, a little.
Well, not as high as the miasma disperser.
Yeah.
Just go around with a little bottle of perfume. Just
I got Febreze.
No, let's see. I'm working 8-hour days, so I'm going to ask for $20 an hour. I'm asking $160 a day.
Okay. So that would be, I mean,
I don't know, however long it took.
That's roughly $5,000 a month.
Wow.
That's it?
That's pretty good.
Yeah. You do get to go, like, I assume once I took the job, they flew me down there, or...
Yeah.
Honestly, that's probably pretty close to what I would ask for.
All expenses
like that,
paid.
I mean, that's really good salary, but that's also, like, it's appropriate, I feel, for, like, the danger.
Yeah.
Well, I'm back in those days, $160.
I'm gonna undercut Andy. I'm gonna say $4,000.
Wow. Yeah.
Have any of you ever seen me around mosquitoes?
No.
Sean and I used to go out walking in the Chicago...
Used
nature
to.
Preserves. Yes, used to.
Back when her legs weren't.
And he would get bitten once. I would get bitten 30 to 40 times. And it didn't matter what bug repellent I soaked myself in first.
Mosquitoes do seem to have a preference.
Yeah. Kelly, get in the off chamber.
I am their preference.
I remember hearing in my parasitology class a study they did where, like, mosquitoes infected with malaria prefer people that have not been infected.
Yep.
Weird.
It's another thing that the parasite does to, like, mess with their brain.
Are you allergic at all to mosquitoes, Kelly?
No, not any more than normal.
I'm one of the only people in my family that doesn't get, like, a gigantic bulbous thing.
No,
whenever
my sister
they...
is.
Yeah.
Like, it swells up like a cyst.
Yeah.
I get those sometime.
Just if you scratch them a bunch.
Yeah.
Well, don't scratch them a bunch.
I'll double their salary.
To which, Adams or Andy's?
10,000.
Andy's.
10?
10,000.
10,000? Okay.
Kelly better not get that job.
I was going to say, one of my very strange and useless superpowers is the fact that mosquitoes don't seem to bite me practically at all. Like, if I get one mosquito bite, it's an exceptional event.
His trick is to bring along an innocent decoy to attract them.
See, I'm very similar, but once again, I had two decoys with me my entire childhood. So yeah,
that's a good point. Like, I can't even remember the last time I got a mosquito bite.
Yeah, didn't happen very often. But that's a lot of work. Like, you're just tromping through the jungle, fighting snakes and mosquitoes.
You so hate cool. being hot.
I think I'll split the difference. I'll say $8,000. I would do it. So I'll double Adam's price.
Yeah. You suckers.
I think Adam and I are getting the job, and you guys are stuck in the United States with Teddy Roosevelt.
Screw you. I'm getting the job over you.
Well, have fun in the jungle.
Oh, I will.
Well, I think that's all we've got for this week. Gungoozle you next time.
Thanks to my co-hosts, and thank you so much for tuning in today. If you would like more information about today's episode, check out our website at acidpoppodcast.podbean.com. You can also find us on Twitter at acidpoppodcast and contact us at acidpoppodcast@gmail.com. Be sure to like, subscribe, and give us all the stars you can. Stay safe out there, and we'll see you next week.
Oh, let me take off my jacket.
Let me take off my pants. No, I don't know.
He does so much better when he's nude.
So restricted.
Got all these social norms.
You and your hang-ups with clothes.